begin. The order of worship this morning is for the fourth Sunday in Lent. It's going to be a little bit different order because we're not all together. So this morning what I'm going to do is do confession absolution. We'll go on to the readings. Then from there I'll go to the sermon. From there we'll go to prayers and then benediction, and then I'll dismiss those that are viewing online. For those that are viewing on, I believe, my personal site, my battery's about 19%, so if I lose you, at the end I'll post off of the church's Facebook page at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Lincoln, and then I'll post it so you can watch it after we're done broadcasting. But welcome this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness. Confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called, ordained servant of the word, I therefore forgive you your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday in Lent is from the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, beginning with verse 14 to 21. Isaiah 42, 14 to 21. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do. I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 14. And this also serves as the theme verses for our sermon this morning. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. And anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading is from St. John, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 1 and scattered all the way to verse 39. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the work of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud in my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He says, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus says, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who have and those who see may become blind." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is our text. My dear friends in Christ, here we are, 7 days in to our self-imposed coronavirus quarantine, complete with social, what is that called? Social distancing, and the idea of no crowds larger than 10. And here at Emmanuel, we're much smaller than 10. But it's 7 days since the body of Christ here at Emmanuel has had the opportunity to gather together as a body and worship together. It's been 7 days since we've been able to kneel at this altar to receive the flesh and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Now, it may have only been 7 days, but to me, it seems like an eternity, because I'm a people person, and not being around people is going to kill me. And see, the reality is, it feels to me like it's going to go on for an eternity, but I know that's not true. I believe we're a lot like the Israelites as they longed for the promised land as they marched around for 40 years in the wilderness. They longed to gather into the place that God had promised to their forefathers, in the same way that the body of Christ, Emmanuel family, longs together again in this place of worship in safety, that we may worship together. See, kind of lost in this whole coronavirus thing is we've officially reached the halfway point in our Lenten journey. But have you ever wondered why it's 40 days of Lent and not 20 or 30 or perhaps even 50? What's so significant about 40? Well, if you look to the Bible, 40 is a number of great significance, and I'll tell you why. In the same way that 3 and 7 are, they signify the completeness, 3 being the Godhead of God, and 7 being the days of creation and completeness. And then the number 20 represents the 12 tribes of the number 12 represents the 12 tribes of Israel, and then ultimately the church. But the number 40 symbolizes a time of repentance and a time of cleansing. Now I want you to think back to the Bible wherever that number 40 appears. For exactly, it was 40 days and 40 nights the rain fell upon the earth during the time of Noah and the flood, and it cleansed the earth of all ungodliness. It was 40 years that the Israelites marched in the wilderness after they denied going into the promised land. And they traveled around 40 years until God had cleansed the generation that had despised him by not entering the promised land. It was 40 years of eating manna in the wilderness, by the way. It was 40 days and 40 nights that Moses was on Mount Sinai when he received the Ten Commandments from God. It was 40 days the Israelite spies spent in the land of promise, which included Joshua and Caleb as they explored the promised land. And if you recall, it was 40 days in which Jesus fasted in the wilderness while Satan tempted him to fall into temptation. So as we observe these 40 days of Lent, you and I are reminded that it's a time of cleansing and it's a time of repentance even within our own lives. Now, perhaps for some of us, this journey, much like the coronavirus, this quarantine, begins to kind of drag out, and it's only going to get worse, I hate to tell you. And it becomes a little bit boring, this whole corona thing and the Lenten season. Perhaps it's because of our inability to get together to worship, to encourage one another, and to see the purple and to sing those Lenten hymns that leads us to that place that Lent surely has to be over. But it's not. In fact, today the Apostle Paul provides us a motivational kick in the pants as we hear him speak to the Ephesian Christians then and as he speaks to you and I today. He tells us to walk as children of light. I've lost people on one monitor. We will try to get them back. We're supposed to walk as children of light. Man, life is so good when you're dealing with computers. Okay. And we're kind of back. So we're supposed to walk as children of light. Walking is pretty natural to you and to me. In fact, the only time we really struggle with is when we're infants or toddlers or as we get elderly and we begin to stumble a bit. But for most of us, walking comes naturally. As Forrest Gump says, I just put one foot down in front of the other. And for those that you didn't think I could get a Forrest Gump quote, well, there it is. But do you know that the average person will walk anywhere from 7 to 10,000 steps in a day? Unless you're my wife and I who have the iPhone watch, and it's free if you take so many steps in a day. 15,000, as a matter of fact. But in your lifetime, if you take 7,000 to 8,000 steps a day, it'll be actually 2.5 million steps you'll make in a year. And it makes you tired thinking about it. And throughout a lifetime, you'll actually walk approximately 115,000 miles, one step after another. Did you know the first guy that walked around the circumference of the globe was a guy from Waseca, Minnesota, by the name of David Kunst? He completed the historic journey back in October of 1974 after completing a trek of 15,000 miles. And on that trip, he wore out, it took him 4.5 years, and he wore out 22 pairs of tennis shoes. Now, most of us find it kind of appalling to think that you could walk that far, or would you want to, and for what purpose? But we wouldn't usually accept the challenge of walking that far. But here we are, in God's Word, it tells us that a Christian disciple, the life you live is a walk. It's a journey. It's a journey which requires dedication, it requires courage, and it certainly requires persistence in our daily lives. For a Christian to walk is to be self-surrendering, to fully yield our life to God and His will, and it's an intense desire to please God rather than ourselves. But have you ever noticed, as a Christian, the way we walk our life as a Christian disciple is a lot contingent upon those who are around us. For example, when I'm in church and around other people, you always want to put on your best face. You want to act like a person of the light and say the right things and do the right things. But is that true when we're home by ourselves? When we are in front of our computer monitor when no one else can see? when we're in conversations or in thoughts with or about other people, when it's not open to the masses, do we still live those lives as children of light? Does our surroundings dictate the way that we live? And then listen to how Paul goes to great lengths to remind you who you once were. He says this, "For at one time you were darkness." And the verb that Paul uses there is an imperfect verb, which doesn't mean it's not perfect, but it's imperfect, meaning that it's a verb that's continually and ongoing. In other words, I like to use the word relentless. At one time, you relentlessly lived in darkness. At one time, you ate, drank, and slept in the deep darkness of the world in which we live in, and you liked it. It became home. You set up your house, and you made friends there. Now, if you recall, the Old Testament began with darkness. In the very beginning, darkness covered the face of the deep. And God with his word says, "Let there be light," and there was. And the darkness of the world in which you and I live was shattered as light overtook it. Our text in the middle of the sentence, Paul depicts this shattering of darkness by dropping a conjunction, the word "but." He says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord." The question is what has changed? You who once ate, drank, and slept in darkness, enjoyed it, and began to build a life there, how has that changed for you? How are you a child of light today? Well, how exactly did you who once relished darkness now embrace the light? In the early church, our early church father by the name of Justin Martyr, his time frame was about AD 155. He wrote that baptism is an enlightenment. And I find that just fascinating, that through baptism, that light of God has been revealed to you and it has exploded in your life, shattering the darkness of the world in which you live in. Through water and word, you have been made a child of God. You know, it's a little wonder here at Emmanuel we have our baptismal font out in the narthex. And believe you me, it's not always popular.
The audio has seemed to cut off. I'll hook back up the same spot, but I'll put it in a different file, and you'll just have to listen to kind of the sermon in two parts. I apologize for that. Yesterday, I just plain forgot to start my audio recorder when I started preaching, so my apologies to those that are listening through the web page audio file, but I hope all is well with you, and I'll close this file, open another one, and upload it as well. So just be patient with us as we kind of work through the technical difficulties of a corona world. Thanks.